in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're preaching the Word of God about Saul, who becomes Paul. Chapter 9 of Acts of the Apostles, verse 23. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill Saul, but their plot became known to him. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him. He was found on the ground with the Shekinah glory. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. To persecute the Christian is to persecute the Christ. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through the opening of a wall, lowering him in a basket. If they're putting him in a basket, he can't be too big. He's probably a short Saul. And they lower him so that the Jews will not touch him. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. They thought he was still going to kill. They thought he was still going to arrest, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. You see, one touch from God is all you need. One touch from God is all you need to change your whole life. Saul's life was changed. He became Paul. He became the preacher of the Gentiles. But before he went to the Gentiles, he went to the Jews first. For salvation is to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had given them peace to live the life of Christ. It increased in numbers. How did it increase in numbers? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the death of Jesus, through his blood, and through his resurrection. Now, as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came down also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was a paralytic. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ healed you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That's all you need, is a big miracle. And people see that this guy was bedridden. Now he's walking and jumping and praising God. Now he's living a life of a healed person. And they believed the gospel, that Jesus Christ bled for their sins, that he died and rose from the dead. You see, we need miracles during these days, and God has given us the power to do miracles. Do you know that today? That you have been given the power to do miracles in the name of Jesus. I remember praying several weeks ago for a nun in Spain. She had cancer. A lady came in and said, "Could you pray for sister in Spain? She has cancer." and we prayed, and in Jesus' name, she was healed of cancer. Imagine, there's no space between me and Spain in the Holy Spirit. There's no space between us. God was in here, and God was there healing her. She sent a message that thanked that priest. It was God who did it. The only thing I did was to pray. God healed this woman. Do you know that today, that God continues to heal people? Now, as Peter went there among all the believers, he came down to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. How we need to turn to the Lord. This country is so opposed to turning to the Lord. I said a couple of weeks ago, unless the country repent, it's going to go down the sewer. We kill our children in the womb, thousands and thousands each day. Not only that, but we kill our old people. We stop them from eating. You see, we are living in a death society. This country needs to repent. In the Old Testament, they would offer their children to the god of Moloch, putting them in the fire. We offer our children at the abortion mills, killing them, and they feel pain. And you know, people don't even know that. Every day at Planned Parenthood, they're killing children, and no one talks about it. Well, I'll talk about it, and I'll tell people, no more, unless we repent. If we do not repent, something worse will happen to this country. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek was Dorcas. It's a woman. She was devout and devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to Peter with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made. She was a tailor. While she was with them, Peter put all them outside. And when he knelt down and prayed, he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Now, Tabitha's dead. "Tabitha, get up." He raises Tabitha from the dead. Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. It's a great miracle. What's going to happen? People going to say, "Peter raises the dead. Jesus gave him the power not only to heal Aeneas, but to raise Tabitha from the dead." We have the power to raise people from the dead when God gives us permission. This is real. This is real. And we need to do it. Jesus said, "Signs like these shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick. They shall cure leprosy. They shall give new eyes to those that are blind, new ears to those that are deaf. They shall raise the dead." This became known throughout Joppa, and many believers in the Lord came to believe. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Now, this is interesting, because tanning was not kosher. So they're breaking the kosher law. Chapter 10. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a Gentile, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with his household. He feared God, the God of Israel. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon, at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him with terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." Not only your prayers, but your money has ascended as a memorial to God. Do your prayers and does your money ascend as a memorial to God? Are you a giving person? Or are you just saying, "Well, you know, I ask and I receive, but I don't give"? Money is very important in the kingdom. Giving money is very important. Your prayers and your money have ascended to God. Oh, yes. As a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, where Peter was. A certain Simon, who is called Peter, is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. The tanner is not kosher. When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of the slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. He's on the roof, and he's hungry, and he wants something to eat. He's going to have a vision. He's going to be put in a trance. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens opened, and something like a sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air, all unkosher animals. Now, what's this going to mean? Well, it's going to mean that he's going to go to an unkosher man, Cornelius. He's going to preach the gospel. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is unclean or profane." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." What's going to happen now? Cornelius sends people to Joppa because he wants Simon to come to his house and preach the gospel. Oh, yes. This is the way things are. God knows how to do everything. He knows how to set the captives free. He knows how to heal the Gentiles. He knows how to bring people to Christ that are Jew and Gentile. Peter said, "By no means, Lord, have I ever eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "When God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly men from Cornelius appeared, Gentiles, unclean. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing at the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was with Peter, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up and go down, and go with them without hesitation." The unclean animals represented the unclean Cornelius's friends. Go with them. Go and do what? Go and preach the gospel. Go and tell them of Jesus. Go and tell them of his death, of his blood, of his burial, of his resurrection. Go and tell them. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly men by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were staying by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit came to him. "Look, three men are searching for you. Get up and go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, a Gentile, an upright and God-fearing man who was well spoken by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. That was against Jewish custom, to have a Gentile come and lodge with the Jew. But you see, all these things are being washed away, washed away, washed away. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. Do you call together your relatives and close friends to tell them about Jesus? Do you call together people to tell them about Jesus? The world is in need of Jesus. The world is in need of the Lord. And we need to tell our relatives and friends about Jesus. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, I'm only a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many were assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anything profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection." Why? Because he saw the vision of unclean animals. They represented Cornelius's house. So he comes. "So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask of you, may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "Four days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God.'" Again, not only his prayer, but his money. We as Catholics have not asked people of money. We say, well, we don't want to ask money. We need money to proclaim the kingdom of God. We need money in order to do the things God tells us to do. We need money. I could not be on the radio for 40 years without people who generously give to this ministry. I could not be here preaching to you without the money that comes in for in-season and out-of-season. Four days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in the house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send there to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, by the sea on Kosher. Therefore I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. What do you think he's going to say? He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to preach the gospel. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality between Jew and Gentile, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John pronounced and announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, the gospel, by hanging him on a tree, the gospel. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all, but to the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell upon them who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured even out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water from baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" They experienced Pentecost by the power of the Word of God. They experienced Pentecost. So we order them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Why? To tell more about Jesus. We want to hear more about Jesus. Do you want to hear more about Jesus? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you telling Jew and Gentile about Jesus? The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. To Jew and Gentile, conversion comes through the preaching of the gospel. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.